Star Wars Action News presents Republic Forces Radio Network, bringing you coverage of Star Wars, The Clone Wars. Our host will review the toys, books, comics, games, and all things related to the Clone Wars animated series. And after each new episode airs on Cartoon Network, our host will recap and review the show. And we want to hear your thoughts on The Clone Wars. Call us at 415-508-JEDI every Saturday after a new episode, and your call may be played on the air.
Hello, and welcome to Republic Forces Radio Network, where we discuss all things Clone Wars. I'm Jonathan, and tonight we're doing our Season 5 wrap-up. Joining me are Jerry.
It's our final season final wrap-up. It's kind of sad.
Jen.
Hey, guys. It's the last one.
And Nathan.
Hey, everybody.
Game over, man. Game over.
We're going to be discussing our impressions of Season 5 and the last season of Clone Wars, as we discussed in our last episode, talking about the season being canceled. But I still think that there's quite a bit to discuss. The Season 5, in my opinion, has probably been the strongest season since the beginning of Clone Wars. There was so much potential and so many places they could have gone with it. That being said, they still ended it, I think, really, really well. So why don't we go through the same order and just give us your impressions of this season as a whole?
Well, you know, overall, Season 5 was pretty strong, but it wasn't without some really low points. There was about an 8-week time span, which I guess now that I think about it, it's fairly significant. The Young Jedi arc and the whole Gascon and the droids arc. I mean, really, right in the middle of the season was like someone just threw the parking brake on while you're going down the highway at 60 miles an hour. I mean, I was on the Gascon arc and, you know, joined you guys on that. So I certainly paid a lot of attention to that. But Young Jedi, I didn't even watch that one until they're all out. And to follow that up with Gascon and, you know, the droids arc, I just thought, like, man, Season 5 is really going off the rails. But they certainly redeemed themselves in the back third of the season, so much so that I think the opening arc and the last two arcs were strong enough to say that overall this was definitely one of the better seasons.
I think this season definitely had its positives. I would definitely not say it was the best season of the series, and I actually don't even know if it's one of the best ones. In my opinion, I feel like it was right in the middle. It wasn't terrible. It wasn't anything like the first season that had so many bumps and it hadn't been really streamlined and hitting its stride yet. But there were, just like Jerry was saying, there were some duds in the middle of this. Like, it started off okay and it ended really strong, but those ones in the middle were rough as far as I was concerned. And I was kind of having a hard time at some points getting into the show again each episode. So I would say this is kind of not as good as last season. I feel like last season was really my favorite of all of them. So definitely below that. And I'm not sure if it's tied with season 3 or not, or maybe a little bit below, but definitely not above season 4.
Wow. I guess I'll be possibly the lone one on this one. I actually find that season 5 is probably my favorite of the series overall. I mean, season 4 had some really good stuff, like the Krell episodes and such, but I think from an overall quality perspective and from the standpoint of taking characters that we know and love and giving them more chances to shine, I think season 5 with its 5 story arcs did a really good job at that. They managed to get in a lot of the stuff that fits the younger fare with the Young Jedi stuff. They gave us some good conclusions to a lot of the arcs that we've been seeing with the stuff with Maul, the Shadow Conspiracy stuff based on the book title and whatnot. Really, the only arc this season that particularly sort of let me down was, of course, the one with Gascon and such. But, you know, when you compare that one to some of the fluff, goofy episodes like Mercy Mission and Nomad Droids, that arc as a whole, honestly, I don't think was as bad as those episodes were. A Sunny Day in the Void absolutely was, and didn't need to be produced at all. But, you know, leaving out that one episode to make those sort of the weaker batch, but not a horrible batch, I think what we got here was a stellar season, and I almost don't want to see that bonus content. I'm afraid that after a season like this one, with so many things being wrapped up, what if we get episodes that diminish the series rather than leaving it at the height that it hit in season 5? I really enjoyed it.
And Nathan, as my initial statements kind of reflected, I'm with you. I think that for me, season 5 was probably the strongest season of Clone Wars, in my opinion. You know, Jerry, to what you said, yes, I agree that the Gascon and Droids episodes were the worst of this season, and maybe the worst of the entire series. But as far as the Young Jedi arc, I liked it. And I think that there were certain aspects of Young Jedi that were really, really cool and added to this sort of overall environment that's been built in Clone Wars. Let's kind of get down to it a little bit and talk about it. What were your guys' overall favorite arcs of this season? We had 4 episode arcs, and I think we can include the season opener in the Night Brothers Death Watch arc, but of all of the 4 episode arcs, which one was your favorite? And Jerry, I'm going to start with you again.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, and this is probably a common answer for many people, but I think the Night Brothers and Death Watch arc was my favorite one. I mean, I think it was certainly one of those arcs that answered a lot of questions. I mean, you got to see what the fate was with Vizsla. You got to see pretty much, you know, Satine. I mean, everything with the, oh, wait a minute, the Mandalorians are pacifists now. I mean, kind of like what we were talking about with Ahsoka and our reaction show that just came out here recently. We talked about how this series was a perfect bookend for Ahsoka. Well, it kind of was with this whole Mandalorian pacifist thing, too. I mean, this series introduced us to Satine and this whole concept of the Mandalorians not being a warring faction anymore. Well, now, okay, that's now done. So any of the cans of worms that this series may have opened, at least the Mandalorian one got closed right back up. So I kind of like the way that that was sort of self-contained. But then, of course, just the best thing we saw at C6 was just getting to know that Darth Sidious, the Emperor, was going to just lash out and do some fighting in this show against the Maul brothers. And I just thought everything about that arc was fantastic. We can debate whether season 5 was one of the strongest, or nowhere near the strongest. But I actually think the whole Maul brothers arc here was as strong as an arc as we've seen, period, across the entire run of the series.
I'm torn on this one, actually. I really liked the last arc of the season, but I think as far as just pure enjoyment, I think I'm going to have to echo Jerry, and the Mandalorian arc was probably my favorite. And I'm biased. I freely admit that I'm biased, because I really, really wanted to see them resolve the pacifist issue with the Mandalorians, because I'm really into that stuff from all like the Karen Travis books, and I love Boba Fett. And so I really wanted to see that get resolved. So unfortunately, I was really kind of hoping Satine would die and we get to see it. And we did. So that made me happy. There had some issues that I kind of had a problem with, but I liked it for the most part. And I feel like there was a lot of interesting stuff going on, and it didn't drag out. Like, some of the other arcs had some problems where they were clearly trying to fill time in the middle episodes. And I feel like this one was really solid through pretty much the whole thing. So yeah, I think the Mandalorian arc was probably my favorite.
I'm right there with you. I would say the Mandalorians / Night Brothers arc is definitely my favorite of the season, especially because of the emotional impact of the 4th episode and the great battle sequence that we got between Vizsla and Maul in the 3rd. But I would say that the Ahsoka arc, if you want to call it that, at the end, is a very, very close second. Had it not been for that final battle in the 3rd episode, Shades of Reason, of the Mandalorian arc, I would probably have to put him up there as a tie. But with that awesomeness in there, I gotta go with the Mandalorian and Night Brothers arc as well.
And I guess I'm going to be the odd man out and go with my favorite arc was the Gascon. No, I'm just kidding. I'd be kicked off the call.
Yeah, hey, Jonathan, just for that one, you're not hosting Republic Forces next season.
Oh, man.
Oh, nah, never mind. I guess that's not much incentive.
My favorite arc was actually the final arc, the Ahsoka arc, because while the Mandalorian Death Watch arc was incredible, and I loved the action and I loved the sequencing, I really, really did enjoy it. The emotional strings that the final arc was able to pull, especially that last episode, just kind of put it over the top for me. Clone Wars ended on the highest of high notes. And I will always kind of feel that last arc just really gave me what I really loved about Clone Wars. Now, arcs aside, what was your single favorite episode of this season? What about it made it just kind of put it up there for you that was just the standout for this season? And we're going to go reverse order this time, Nathan.
Well, I mean, I guess you got my answer sort of in the last question. I would say Shades of Reason And a lot of it has to do with the drawing together, finally, of the Knight Brothers arc, everything involving Vizsla and the Death Watch and such, what we saw with the new Mandalorians, where Mandalore could wind up going, even going back to Almec from Corruption and the Academy, to finally pull all those threads together and give us a monumental that leaves us in sort of an Empire Strikes Back sort of, holy crap, look where they are, how are they going to get out of this type of situation, with Maul being in charge of essentially Mandalore behind the scenes. It all comes down for me to that final confrontation, where it's not just, you know, it's not like the Sidious Maul Savage battle. As cool as that was, it's just another stinking lightsaber duel. But to have Pre Vizsla in there using all the tricks that come along with that Mandalorian Death Watch armor against Maul, still losing, and the way he accepts his execution, that whole sequence, about the last, 10 minutes or so of that episode, really nailed for me the kind of action we could see in this series. So, Shades of Reason all the way.
Oh, this is a hard question, because I really like Shades of Reason as well, but I really also like the episode that follows it, The Lawless. So, oh man, I don't know if I can pick between the two, honestly, because I love Shades of Reason because of the last 10 minutes or so, and it carries into The Lawless because it's just stuff happens really rapidly, actually, and it's game-changing material where you don't know who's going to make it out of here, and people are dropping like flies, and it's really exciting because usually I don't really feel any threats to any of the characters. I can usually pick out who's not going to make it through the episode. I had a feeling about Vizsla, but when they cut his head off and he's done, it's just like, wow, that's amazing. And it got me really pumped for the next one. And so I feel like these two, probably maybe a little bit more Shades of Reason, just because it got me so excited for the next episode. But both of these two, they were my favorites by far because they didn't pull any punches. And I feel like some of the other episodes do.
You know, I'm actually going to go with Revival, the premiere episode. There's a couple reasons. Number one, the fact that it was a full episode that they showed at Celebration 6, and just that experience of seeing it, Jonathan, the way you and I got the chance to see it, that was really cool and very memorable. But there's a lot of things. I think Obi-Wan had some really good moments in that episode, which I thought was really cool. I like to see the really drastic things that they had happen to Darth Maul and Savage Opress. And, you know, overall, I thought it was a fun episode all along. It's kind of hard to, even though the Maul Brothers arc was my favorite arc, it's hard to single out any of those particular episodes. Although I think I could easily pick any of the last two, Jen, just like you said, with the Lawless and Shades of Reason. Both of those are easily number two and number three, but I'm going to go with Revival. I think that just was a really neat way. I also like the way that was the season premiere. I think that was a really good choice to start us there, given where they left us on season four. So just all around, I think that was my favorite episode, one that I'll probably be the first one to go back to, and not just because it'll be the first one on the Blu-ray.
And I had a hard time picking my single favorite episode of this season. So, you know, and I keep going back and forth, I think, depending on, you know, my mood. The most powerful scene for me was the last scene of the entire season in The Wrong Jedi, but the rest of that episode, while great, it didn't reach the heights of two other episodes for me. The one, like you guys said, Shades of Reason, I don't think I need to go into why I thought that end battle was just tremendous. I also liked The Jedi Who Knew Too Much. There was something about that episode that I just thought was just tremendous. Ahsoka kind of moving through the whole escape in the second part of that episode, the interactions, a lot of the foreshadowing that we saw of what the Republic is going to become in morphing into the Empire, Tarkin, the clones. You know, you could go back to the archives and listen to us talk about that episode and just how it just resonated with all of us. And for me, that's one of the just probably the standout episode of this season for me. Now, those were the highs. Why don't we take a look at the lows? I don't think anybody is going to disagree. And is there a show of hands of anyone who doesn't think that the Gascon and Droids arc was the worst arc of the season?
You know, I could at least engage in a conversation with somebody between that one and the Young Jedi, but I think at the end, the Gascon one's going to win that.
The Gascon one almost made me not want to watch Clone Wars anymore at all. Like, that was a painful arc.
Now, when you've got an arc that includes an episode, because I'm sure we all also agree on the worst episode of the season, where a character is a character is musing on the concept of suicide, and you're sitting back saying, oh, for God's sake, just off yourself already. There's a problem.
Jen, I 100% agree with you. And for me, it was getting those four episodes right after Young Jedi and having the eight of them in a row. It's kind of what I was saying earlier, that if it wasn't for us getting together and doing Republic Forces Radio Network, I might have just left the rest of the shows for a Blu-ray release.
Now, Jerry, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot because you weren't part of the Young Jedi arc. So tell me, what about that arc made you dislike it? Because I enjoyed it. And Jen, I'm not sure how you felt, but I didn't feel that it was a bad arc. Maybe didn't really fit the tone of the rest of the season, but I didn't have a problem with it.
And Jonathan, maybe in some ways you kind of summed it up for me already with that statement. I mean, to me, it felt like four episodes, and this very well could be, you know, from Arnie's report from C6, very well could have been the case. It seemed like I was watching four episodes of a different series. Like if they were going to make the moral equivalent of a spinoff for Clone Wars and feature characters for a younger audience, maybe they were onto something there. But then, and I don't even remember what, you know, what happened in which episodes now, so forgive me if I don't get the order just right here. But then, you know, you kind of get that with The Gathering, I think it was. That was the first one of that arc. You kind of get this, like, after-school special, the more you know feeling from the first episode, and then you get this thing with Hondo being involved and sort of some of the plot points with him that I thought was just, I don't want to say inappropriate. To me, it just didn't fit. It was almost like one show invaded a different show. And it's like, wait a minute, this kind of feels like a Clone Wars spinoff. And then you get this awkwardness with having Hondo involved here. I just didn't think it worked. And it certainly wasn't anything I wanted to see. I mean, if you're going to tell a Clone Wars story, why are you even going to this? I don't want this show going in this direction. And then to be followed up by, you know, Frog Troop and his droids. It was so going off the rails, and fortunately, like I said, it redeemed itself pretty well with the final episodes, but these really made me question kind of what season five was looking to do. And I have this theory, you know, we got a lot of shows shuffled around. Maybe it's not a theory, maybe we know this already, but Filoni shared these Young Jedi episodes at C6, according to Arnie and what he reported to us. And consistent with everything else we've heard is that it didn't seem like Filoni knew at C6 that these four episodes would be part of season five. And we know some season five episodes got pushed out. And I don't know why they tried to prioritize these so badly. I don't.
Well, they kind of did lay some groundwork for the Maul Knight Brothers arc with the destruction of Hondo's base and some of the things that he discussed there. Jen, Nathan, why don't you weigh in on your feelings about the Young Jedi arc?
I'll jump in really quickly, but I think I said in the when we were covering the arc that this it wasn't really my favorite. I liked the first one. I thought it was an interesting little one-off type episode, but when it continued, and especially the stuff with Hondo, which was surprising because I usually love Hondo, but I felt like this was really bad, especially when he's stumbling around drunk. I know everybody thought that was awesome. I just thought it was stupid. That circus episode, that's the one that really killed me. The others weren't that bad, but that circus one was kind of painful. I wasn't sad to see that arc be over.
I guess a little bit different for me. I will agree that the circus arc or the circus episode was pretty ridiculous. It was cutesy kitty stuff, but we've certainly seen that previously in the series. That was not nearly as jarring as, say, hey, let's have a whole new Gungan boss, Boss Leone, so that we can have a whole sight gag. Jar Jar looks like him. Isn't that funny? It was goofy, but it was goofy in a part of an arc that overall seemed like it was geared toward the younger side of the Clone Wars audience, which not much of this season seemed to be. And I like to see, you know, the training of the young Jedi and such. I like the designs that were very to what we see in the Old Republic video game. It was awesome to see David Tennant, the 10th Doctor, show up in the series as Hu Yang. I enjoyed it not as much as the rest of the season. Thought it was probably the second worst, but I mean, you only got five, so I guess it's number four out of five. Not bad, just not one of my top three. But I will say that my fiance really enjoyed it and really started to like the character of Gunji. She thought he was amazingly cute and put him kind of right up there with Yoda in her eyes as far as one of those, you know, characters that's just, you know, kind of fun to have there. It's not that it was a bad arc. It's just an arc that didn't really fit the tone of the rest of the season in a lot of ways. But I don't necessarily see anything bad about it. Certainly wasn't anything to make me think that I shouldn't be watching. And I think it's especially cool that we got to see something that sets up what we saw in Revival. Granted, it's because they aired Revival in the wrong order. But it sets up what we see in Revival. So there's that tie-in there, as you mentioned. And we got to see finally what happened to Slave One. So even amongst, you know, a few things that were somewhat goofy, we got to see some cool stuff. And Ahsoka, again, not necessarily at her absolute best, but in a season that is very much about Ahsoka's character growth, this was another element, her as a teacher. I liked it, just wasn't one of the top ones.
See, and I'm going to challenge you guys about the tone. Let's look at the last episode of that arc, A Necessary Bond. Or in that episode, the one thing that stood out to me is for the first time in this entire series, I think, General Grievous felt like a threat. First when he, I think it was in that episode, but when he attacked Obi-Wan's ship, and then when he was fighting at the end as Ahsoka and the younglings were trying to escape, he actually felt menacing in a way that we haven't seen probably since the Micro series. Did nobody like that?
Well, yeah, he was menacing, but he was menacing because all the characters were Clone Wars series characters, pretty much. I mean, of course he's menacing if you know that the characters you're dealing with aren't ones that have to be alive for Episode 3.
And that was part of my comment, though, that sure, that was menacing, but that was part of what made the whole arc feel off balance. The first episode, for sure, was very, for lack of better words, cutesy and kidified, and they're just trying to find their courage and trying to find whatever, I don't remember now. And then you bring this kind of into it, and I'm just like, but, you know, what's this arc trying to be? What's this arc trying to do? And who are these characters? Why do I care? And, you know, Nathan, I guess that was part of it. Yeah, he was being menacing, but the characters I really don't care about because they're not in Episode 3. They're not even explored any further in this series. Maybe if these younger Jedi had a role in other episodes to where you're kind of like, hey, I'm kind of glad to see how these guys came about and came up through the ranks. Not that they're being promoted, but you know what I mean, to where they kind of come in on their own a little bit. Then I could maybe have went back and appreciated it. But no, this is so throwaway, and I'm sick and tired of this series giving me throwaway episodes. You're into season 5. What is your plan? What are you trying to be? And where are you going? It's as if all along they've only had 8 to 12 good episodes each season, and they just got to give us a bunch of crap because they're supposed to do 20 or 22 episodes a season. And this is part of the crap to me.
Well, they do. I mean, the characters do reappear. They reappear as the ones watching Barriss fight Anakin at the end, so they don't appear much, but we're in the midst of season 5. You know, who knows where season 6 would have gone? Maybe the intention was to bring these characters back at some point, but I think a lot of the questions of where do we go from here with certain characters or concepts introduced in season 5 kind of falls flat because there is no opportunity to see where they go. Unless they're in that bonus content, there's no way for us to know what their intentions were.
No, you guys are missing it. They were in episode 3. When you go to the scene where Obi-Wan and Yoda are going through the temple, they're in the corner dead. No, and Nathan, you bring up a good point. We have no idea where this series would have gone if they had been allowed a season 6. But looking at that now and having that sort of meta-knowledge, what missed opportunities do you guys think that we had in season 5? What's something that you think that they really could have just sort of glommed onto that they let go?
You know, for me, it was doing a good job of introducing me to the Onderon rebellion and the events on Onderon and the characters. I mean, we even had, you know, to me, there was a legitimate sadness when Steela died, you know, a character that they just introduced me to 3 episodes earlier. So I don't know. I guess I would have liked to have seen something else come out of that, you know, some other connection with Onderon, you know, the characters that remain to have been involved in something else going on in the series. I'm not sure what that would be, but to me, that was like a really strong thing they created. And then boom, now we're done. We did our one good arc with them and we're moving on to something else. So to me, that could have been something they could have exploited a little bit.
For me, I think it's just the lack of clones. That was my favorite thing in last season, and this is the Clone Wars, and I wanted so badly to get something wrapped up for Rex. And I know we're possibly getting an Order 66 episode, so I've got my fingers crossed for that, but I really wanted to see more with the clones. I feel like they set up so much and they had such a rich background now to draw from that they could do some really interesting stories with them, like as far as how they feel towards the Jedi and stuff like that. And I feel like they were kind of getting there with the Ahsoka stuff because like everybody's starting to kind of question the Jedi, and I felt like there was some really, really interesting material we could have gotten into, and instead we got like the Gascon arc, which made me really kind of sad because I feel like they could have used that time a little bit better.
Although at least the Gascon arc did give you the clone. You got a good Republic Commando moment out of that one episode. Although I know you didn't like that, but at least he was the clone. I mean, that was it.
Yeah, we got to see the clone, the Commando armor. I'll give him that.
Yeah, the armor. That's all you give him points for is the armor, nothing else.
Well, they blew him up, so.
Allegedly.
I don't know if I'm going to get him back now.
I would say the biggest problem missed opportunities, I would say, would have to be, I mean, if we're not counting just what could have come in season six, stuff like, you know, Maul's final fate, or what does Ahsoka do now? What does Asajj do now? You know, what happens on Mandalore now? Is Bo-Katan going to lead, et cetera, et cetera? If you're just going by what could have been in the season, I would say one would be Boba Fett. I think it was mentioned earlier. It would have been nice to see him in some more of that arc. Yeah, we got Slave One, but we didn't get Boba to see the rest of his character evolution in this series, though supposedly if they ever do a live-action series, he will be in that. But as you mentioned, we got a Republic Commando. So we not only have the armor from, you know, back in the Night Sisters arc, now we've got an actual Republic Commando, and yet they didn't use them. You know, they just used the one in the one episode, and we never see those character models otherwise. I would also say that as much as I was not a huge fan of Senate Spy, I mean, Senate Spy was okay, but as much as I was not as big a fan of that, there was the potential here to see another of these love triangle type episodes with Anakin and Rush Clovis and Padme, and the idea of where that could draw him. You know, every time we saw Anakin this season, it seems like it kept kind of nudging him more towards the dark side, more towards the attachment issues and whatnot. And it would have been cool to see that Rush Clovis arc that they had made for this season that then got pushed to season six. And of course, now who knows if we'll see as the bonus content or not. Would have been cool to see that maybe in place of the droids arc, because the droid arc didn't seem to really give us anything in terms of character development of any kind, except for, was it, we saw Tarkin with new rank insignia, though we of course see that again in the final arc. Would have been really cool to see that in there, because it could have pushed some more character development for them, even if Clovis is not necessarily the deepest of characters himself. Instead, they boot it back, and, you know, I gotta wonder what they booted it for. I mean, could it have been to be able to fit in Ahsoka's last arc? Maybe. But if not, when did they know that they were going to need to shift something around, and wouldn't it have made sense to take their weakest arc, what I hope they realize was their weakest arc, and boot it out to leave the Clovis stuff in?
You know, Nathan, I'm with you on the Clovis stuff. I found myself wondering, they cut the season two episodes short. So while most of, or all the previous seasons have been 22 episodes, season 5 was only 20 episodes. Why couldn't have they just pushed it out and made it a 24 episode season and left the Clovis arc, which we know is done, in? That was a missed opportunity. The other thing, knowing, I guess, that this was the final season, I would have liked to have seen more things kind of leading up to episode 3. Just a few more things about just the state of the Republic. I would have enjoyed just kind of seeing that further crumbling that is so apparent and allows Palpatine to really kind of take control and make that transformation into Empire.
I'm sorry, do we actually know that the Clovis episodes are done?
I am going to say that yeah, because they were all set to air based on information that came through in the Insider that had the episodes broken down, and things that were posted on TV Guide. My gut, and I have nothing to back this up, but my gut is that when that Clovis arc was pulled was the moment they knew that Clone Wars wasn't going to have a season 6.
Okay.
Well, that, and, you know, I feel like Filoni pushed that arc quite a bit. I mean, we saw a full scene of it at Celebration 6, and, well, maybe actually a scene and a half. So that's not to say the whole thing was done, but, you know, they talked a lot about it. And, you know, I think you guys are raising an excellent point with that. I mean, I could have seen the humor in the Gascon arc if that one ended up being a set of bonus episodes on the Blu-ray that were deemed too stupid to air on network television, but we'll throw them on here anyway. You'll get a laugh out of them in place of getting the Clovis arc, because that one seemed like, you know, it impacted major characters from the series. Anakin, Padme, etc. And, you know, Jonathan, you raise another good point. I mean, we have talked about on this show before how cool it would be if the final episodes of The Clone Wars were the initial moments of episode 3 just from somebody else's perspective. I would have really enjoyed that sort of take on it.
Now, one thing that stands out to me looking back on this season, of course, is one of those pre-season advertisements. You guys might remember that Who Will Fall advertisement where it was advertising the season premiere as being September 29th. On that roster of Who Will Fall, we got Pre Vizsla, Adi Gallia, we got Hondo Ohnaka, Maul, Rex, Savage Opress, Ahsoka Tano, Imbo, Asajj, and Satine. And I actually find it kind of striking how many characters in that either literally fell or had some extreme change to it. Vizsla, of course, is dead. Adi Gallia is dead. Nothing much with Hondo. Maul is now captured. Maybe he's going to get killed. Who knows what Sidious is going to do with him. Rex is, of course, still around. Savage is dead. Ahsoka's left the Jedi Order. Imbo's still around. Asajj is still around, but has no lightsabers anymore. And Satine is dead. I mean, of all those characters, the only ones who didn't go through some kind of significant change or death seem to be Hondo and Rex and Imbo, really. I found that kind of surprising. Who all did you guys actually expect would probably really either fall or go through an actual significant change from that roster on that ad?
Well, first, I do have to say that, I mean, I always chuckled at the ad to the fact that Imbo was on it. It's like, ooh, could Satine die? Could Ahsoka die? Could Darth Maul and Savage Opress die? Could Imbo be dead? Who cares about Imbo being on this list? I just thought that was hilarious. Was Imbo even in the season? Did he do anything? I mean,
he was one of the ones fighting in the hut meeting.
Oh, defending the huts against the Maul brothers.
He did have a change. His helmet was dented in, right? And kind of thinking about, you know, the characters and maybe even some of the unresolved threads from this season, something occurred to me a couple of days ago, and I have no idea why, but there was a story in Star Wars Tales that actually pit Darth Vader against Darth Maul in a combat. And it was stated that Darth Maul was recreated. He was cloned. Nathan, am I remembering this right?
Sort of. He was a dark side doppelganger created by the prophets of the dark side. It's in the story Resurrection, which actually also, for those who follow Star Wars fan audio and podcasts, got an audio drama treatment by a fandom group where I got a chance to actually play Palpatine. It's a great little story, but he was a doppelganger like the Dooku doppelganger in New Droid Army.
Okay, I guess I misremembered that, because I was thinking that would be possibly a really good ending to Darth Maul, that they cloned him and created this other Maul, and that storyline resolved with Vader defeating him.
That would be cool. I like the fact, I mean, we also get the, there's a story, another one in Star Wars Tales called, I believe it's called Phantom Menaces, where a scientist supposedly recovered Maul's brain from Naboo. I guess they could say that he got the brain some other way, or was just told it was from Naboo, and he uses the brain to create a solid-state hologram of Maul with Maul's personality that Luke winds up fighting. You know, it'd be cool to see how they might work any of those in there. Or heck, just make old wounds somehow in continuity, somehow sort of reverse engineer what he did with the legs. Maybe he gets his original legs back somehow and send him against Obi-Wan now that we know he's alive.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about missed opportunities, not of season five, but like by ending the series, what do we miss out on? I mean, you know, the tie-in to episode 3 is a good one. This odd cliffhanger with what becomes a Darth Maul, I mean, it would have been so clean and so accepted for Sidious to have killed both the Maul brothers and killed both him and Savage. And instead, they kind of leave that open. I'm not sure exactly why. I'd be curious of what their thought was on that. I mean, perhaps we'll never know. I doubt it's the basis for episode 7 or anything like that, of course, but it would have been like a much in the way of Satine and pacifist Mandalorians and Ahsoka in and out of the Order, you know, Darth Maul alive again, but back dead again. Again, self-contained little problems within Clone Wars that, hey, they're not really problems. We opened the can of worms and we closed the can of worms all within the series. But that one was left open, and like I said, perhaps we'll never know.
I like the fact that there are the rumblings now about the possibility of a Ewan McGregor Obi-Wan film, which would be a great time to bring Maul back into play. I mean, I'm assuming that Ray Park might be up for it again, and they could even switch out voice actors instead of it being Serafinowicz, I believe is how you pronounce his name, have it be Witwer doing the voice this time.
Well, except that Ray Park's probably going to be tied up in G.I. Joe Snake Eyes related projects for years to come.
Hey, if J.J. Abrams can bail on Trek for Wars.
Well, that wraps it up for Season 5, and for us for the time being, I'd like to thank each of you for joining me this evening.
Thanks, Jonathan.
Thanks.
Thanks. Good to be back for one of our last times.
Ewoks.
That's right. Some of us are going to be journeying to Endor. So in a few weeks, we'll be starting our summer programming with coverage of both seasons of the Ewoks animated series. So we hope to see you then. Good night, everyone.
See ya.
Night.
Good night.
Thank you for listening to Republic Forces Radio Network. Remember, we want your thoughts on the next episode of the Clone Wars series. You can leave us a voicemail at 415-508-JEDI every week from the time the new episode airs, and voicemails received by 1 a.m. Sunday morning may be included in our next episode. You can find our reviews of previous Clone Wars episodes, as well as our summer series reviewing the classic droid cartoon series, at our website, www.republicforces.com. And be sure to listen to our other Star Wars podcast, Star Wars Action News, covering all aspects of Star Wars collecting, from figures to high-end collectibles to Star Wars Band-Aids. Republic Forces Radio Network is hosted by Jerry, Arnie, Dan, Jen, Jerry, Jonathan, Nathan, and Barrett. Republic Forces Radio Network, RepublicForces.com, and Star Wars Action News are not affiliated with Lucasfilm or any other official Star Wars-related company. Star Wars and all that the Star Wars universe contains are copyright and trademark, Lucasfilm Limited, and no infringement is intended. Republic Forces Radio Network is a Venganza Media production, copyright 2013, all rights reserved, and no part of this show may be reproduced, repurposed, or redistributed without the written permission of Venganza Media Incorporated.